Chapter 9. Famille is forever.
My father.
Gabriel stared at us across the crackling flames, red smoke spilling from his nostrils as if he were about to breathe fire. This was difficult for me, paying attention to two places, two conversations at once. Most of my mind in the tent with my brother, but a sliver with Dior, watching as she followed Princess Rain toward the Hall of Plenty. Your father, we replied.
You knew him?
I met him. I do not know if anyone could say they truly knew him. My brother shook his head, incredulous.
Why the fuck didn't you tell me?
I was a child, Gabriel. I was frightened.
And afterward? He demanded. All our time on this road together.
I fixed him with our dead eyes, the hate glittering in them, my only answer.
21. 21 years, and you knew all along.
He glowered at me, storm grey deepening near to black.
Tell me now, who was he? How is it you met him?
We steepled fingertips together, pressing them to our bloody chin. Years and shadows, so wide and deep that I was afraid to step back into them. The whispers of those souls I carried were crashing close to my surface now, roiling in the undertow of my thoughts. Some nights they grew so loud they were all I could hear, never more so than when I looked back into years behind. I could understand why Master Genoa had taken his own life. I could not forgive his weakness, historian, but I could understand it. What must it have been like for those faithful who lived for centuries with this weight? How could a person not drown in the flood of those memories, those lives and thoughts not their own? What a price we paid to be faithful. You fell very ill, we told my brother, when you were 12. Do you remember?
The flux.
Gabriel frowned, shaking his head.
I remember a little.
You were delirious for much of it. It laid you out so hard and swift. Pierre Louis gave you the last rites. The elder wives could fashion no cure. Mama could not sleep, sitting by your side. Her only son, her favourite, whispering desperate prayers and watching you fade with each passing day until she could watch no more. You scorned my papa for the way he treated you, Gabriel, but much as you two fought, he still ran 70 miles to Brynleef to fetch that apothecary. A Castilla he was, through and through. Amelie went with him, but I refused to leave your side, instead sitting with Mama, praying and watching you fade. We were never close, she and I, too much alike, perhaps, but never closer than in our love for you. I hung our head, staring down at the cracked skin on our hands. I woke on the 6th night of your sickness. It took a breath to realise all was silence, and for an awful moment I feared Mama's prayers had ceased, because you had also. But peering down from the loft, I saw her not sitting with you, but standing by the hearth. In her palm I saw a glint in the firelight, a ruby, I thought, big as a thumbnail. But as I watched, she tossed the gem into the flames, and I heard a sizzle, smelled a scent I'd no understanding of back then, but would come to know as well as my own name. Blood, Gabriel whispered. The next day, she acted no different. I thought I'd dreamed that strangeness, but 3 nights later, in the deep of the witching hour, I heard scratching at our front door. Mama looked up to me, but I kept my eyes closed, watching through my lashes as she rose from your bedside. and lifting a log of burning rowan wood from the fire, she opened the door with shaking hands. A chill crawled down my spine as I saw no man nor woman waiting on our threshold, but a cat, eyes red as blood, fur black as midnight. "Bonsoir, Grace," Mama murmured. "Take me to your master." The door clicked as she departed, and I lay in the dark, wondering. I'd no clue what to make of this business, but it smelled of devilry to me. And so, checking you were well and taking the knife Papa gave me for my saint's day, I slipped into the night. Mama was easy to follow, stealing through Lawson's muddy streets into the woods beyond. I was very frightened and very cold, but if there was wickedness afoot, I'd see the bottom of it. I loved Mama in my own way, but I never truly liked her, and the notion she might be some sort of witch seemed not so far from possibility. I met my brother's eyes, smiling with our ruined face. God knows Papa had called her as much when he was in his cups. Gabriel chuckled, hanging his head, and I continued with the tale. Mama followed the cat, and I followed her into the dark. The animal reached a clearing among the dead trees and sat cleaning its paws. Mama waited, burning torch aloft, pale and cold. I found a hide in the belly of a sundered oak nearby, peering out through dead scrub and wondering if I should have ever left my bed. And then I saw him, Gabriel, not so much stepping from the dark, but shifting into focus like a mirage, as if perhaps he had always been there, and only by some measure of his will had I been allowed to lay eyes upon him at all. He was tall, like you, pale skin and long dark hair, rippling in the night wind like bolts of blackest silk. His eyes were grey like yours, and piercing, God, like knives fit to cut the heart from your breast. I was only a girl, but I knew what handsome was, and I understood this man surpassed the notion in ways that folk would die for, kill for. He was swathed all in black, like the night itself, a lord of it, a prince of it. When he moved, it seemed to move too. He knelt to stroke the cat, and she arched her back, adoring. And eyes on Mama, he rose and bowed deep then, like a noble-born lady at court. He spoke with a voice so warm and deep it made me shiver, and though he was more pleasing to the eye than any creature I'd seen, still that pale prince made me terrified. "My darling," he said, as if speaking to an angel. "My dearest," she replied, as if the word hurt to say. "Ye look different. You look exactly the same." They both seemed saddened by that, and for a moment he looked away. I crept closer, low, silent, the knife clutched in my fist. I knew not who this man was, but from the way he and Mama gazed at each other, I sensed something deeper between them, a secret, dark as wine and sweet as chocolate. "Merci," Mama said, "for coming when I called." "Would that I could have come sooner, but the road from St. Eve's is more treacherous than ever. Day's death hath all in disarray. The promise of blood hangs heavy in the air, Uriel. Blood, and the end of all things." "I care not for all things," Mama said. "I care for one." He lowered his eyes then, black curtains hung about the portrait of his face. "Ye were but a girl, Uriel. Ye gifted me something I thought forever lost.
and I am changed forevermore by it. But never should I have taken what ye offered. It was wrong to claim it then. It would be doubly wrong to reclaim it now."
And she laughed then, cruel and cold.
"You conceited fool, I speak not of you."
His mood grew fell at that, his pride stung. Mama steeled herself, hands in fists. "Our son is dying." That word struck me like a hammer blow, heart falling in my chest. But looking closer, at the cut of his jaw and the grey of his eyes, at last I understood why Papa beat you so hard when he loved Amelie and I so dear, brother. I knew, sure as my own name.
"The child's keeping was thy choice. He is thy son, Uriel, not ours."
She clenched her jaw, raised her chin. "My son, then, is dying."
"Then send ye for a priest."
She held out a cup from our pantry. "You can cure his ills, as you once cured mine." I saw his face soften then, some tender memory between them. But the shadow returned, darkening those perilous eyes. As he folded his arms, I saw that black cat again, sitting nearby, watching Mama as the pale prince spoke with a voice heavy and cold.
"If it be the Almighty's will that he die, then he shall die."
"You bastard," Mama spat. "Do you know what I have lost for love of that boy? And you, who lost nothing, tell me I must sit meek and silent as I lose him too. I will not have it." She lifted that burning torch, face twisted in rage. "You owe us. You owe me." He stood taller then, all his dark sovereignty unveiled. The flame in Mama's hand sparked in his eyes as the shadows about him deepened. The birds in the dying trees whispered. The dark ran thicker about him, and his voice was iron and stone.
"Do not tell us what we owe. We have given more than thou shalt ever know."
"If you'll not give it, then I will take it, damn you," Mama snarled, and she lunged, torch swung like a club. But swift as sparrow wings, he knocked the flame aside, catching up her wrists. She might well have been wrestling with a statue, hair come loose from her braid as she thrashed and kicked in fury, that pale prince, unmoving and unmoved.
"Stop," he told her.
Mama fought him a moment longer, face flushed, and then she sagged, rage running to despair as she sank to her knees. She was a prideful woman, Mama, no man's serf, and yet, as she opened her mouth, I knew her next breath would be drawn only to beg.
"Give it to her,"
I demanded. They turned, the prince's eyes flashing with fury and Mama's with fear. I stood at the edge of the clearing, one hand clutching my knife, the other the scruff of that pretty black cat. I knew not if the prince truly cared for the beast, but if he had the keeping of your salvation, brother, I was willing to risk his ire. Such was my love for you.
"I know not what aid you can give," I said, "but give."
I did not see him move. All I knew was one moment I stood with that cat at my mercy, and the next I hung in his, hauled against a dead tree, his face inches from mine, and that close I could see his flesh was porcelain, his teeth sharp as a wolf's. I was so frightened. But it's not till we're thrown to the hellfire that we discover how bright we burn. "Little mountain," Papa called me, and that night I learned, just as he said, I was made of stone. I stabbed the hand that held me, but his flesh was hard, and the blade did little but scratch him.
Mama was screaming to let me go, but he heeded her not at all, glancing instead to the pearl of blood welling at the cut I'd gifted him. I saw hunger in him then, a beast so ageless and terrible, I felt my bladder loose. And I whispered, frightened, oh God, so very frightened, but somehow yet more furious. Let me go, monster. And I saw that word strike him, sure as I had thrown a rock between those hungry eyes. It seemed he saw himself as we did then, not a prince who wore the knight, who mortal women would kill for, but a horror from some fireside tale, a devil clutching a terrified, piss-soaked girl as her mother begged for her life. Almighty God, he whispered. He put me down, looking at his hands as if they were not his own. Mama held me tight, but my eyes were fixed on him, and my heart froze as I saw he was crying, save the tears in his lashes were made of blood.
Forgive me, Mademoiselle de Lyon.
My name is Castilla, I spat. He stared at me, his voice like a lost little boy's.
Ye bear thy father's name, but thou hast thy mother's heart. I had forgot how fierce that song.
Stooping, he lifted Mama's cup from where it had fallen. Mama held me tight, sobbing as he bit into his wrist, filling the goblet to the brim. By the time he placed the cup back on the ground, that lost little boy I had seen was gone.
Call upon me no more, Auriel, for thine own sake and thy children's.
Those storm-grey eyes fell on me, the beast lurking yet in their depths.
It is said all cats have 9 lives, little one. Lionesses, too.
He inclined his head.
Have a care how ye spend the 8 that remain thee.
The cat growled, the shadows rippled, and like a dream at dawn, he was gone. We sat in the tent at the end of my tale, Gabriel and I, the song of the storm outside the only sound between us. He drew deep on his damnable pipe, eyes flushed red by the Silver Saint's accursed sacrament, as they finally drifted up to meet mine.
Mama fed me his blood.
I nodded. And by dawn, you were hale and whole. I knew this was devilry, but Mama bid me tell no one. I asked her then if you were that thing's son, and I could see the grief in her eyes as she replied, "He is your brother. That is all that matters, Selene. Steel rusts, ice melts. Even your papa's beloved stone becomes sand in time. But Famille?" She squeezed my hand then, so tight it hurt. Famille is forever. Gabriel stared across those flames at me, smoke drifting from his lips.
You saved my life.
I shrugged then, ragged face twisting in my almost smile. Always lions. He hung his head, pawing at his eyes. And touching our own, I found them wet with blood. It is a strange thing sometimes, sinner, to be a sibling. So much rancor and love, hate and history, the storms of the present, never quite enough to disturb the millpond of the past. It is quite a thing to grow from children together, seed to sapling, side by side. It is a bond forged in iron, that tie, and it takes a great deal of work to sunder it entirely.
All my life I wondered who he was, Gabriel sighed. why I never knew him. Sometimes I'd fancy the reason he never had anything to do with me was that he didn't know I existed. But he did know. He just didn't give a shit.
He nodded then, as if to himself.
All right. I can live with that.
He cared, I think. A part of him. But there were many parts to your father. Gabriel glanced up at that.
I thought you said you didn't know him.
I did not. I cannot imagine anyone truly did. He was the bearer of countless souls, Gabriel. I do not think even your father knew where they ended and he began. He was cruel and cold most nights, but others, he was the brightest fire in the room. I would go to sleep, understanding why Mama had loved him, only to wake with him in a rage again. He was a thousand faces, a thousand moods, tearing himself in a thousand different directions. Faith was all that kept him anchored. His unfailing belief in Ilya's teachings, the crusade of the Asana, the certainty that one day the Grail would be found, the gates to the kingdom of heaven opened, and he and all the damned souls he carried inside him, saved. My brother's eyes bored into mine, and we saw understanding dawning at last in that storm grey.
He told Mama where he came from that night, San Eves. And after Law killed you, you went looking for him.
And I found him. His name was Wulfric Gabriel.
My father, he whispered.
I nodded. Your father was my teacher.